Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for
in Dax's domain. We see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Here's a chance up the middle, and that shot scores. McLeod on the first shot of the game beats Dustin Tokarski, and it's 1-0, 43 seconds into this one. Here's Tuck into the slot for a shot, scores, Dylan Cousins. Burns stepping into the lane, here's a chance, scores. McLeod goes to the net and a bouncing puck, and he banks it in. It's 3-0 Buffalo with 3.5 seconds to go in the second period. Thompson turns, fires it off the post. Here's a chance for a third goal of the game. Oh, McLeod. Are they going to give him a goal?
Yeah, they're going to give
him a goal. McLeod picks up a hat trick goal. The puck never crossed the line. His stick broke on the play on the back check coming to take him out of the play. But McLeod's got the hat trick, and the Sabres have the 4-2 lead with 24 seconds to go.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Sabres, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Thursday. I've decided the worst beat of all time.
What's up?
If you somehow, I don't know if anybody in the world would ever have done this, but if you bet Ryan McLeod 4 shots.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like, you know, what do you mean he didn't get that last shot? He gets credit for a goal but not a shot?
I was wondering if he would get credit for the goal because he never touches it.
Yeah. Is it one of those things where he gets credit for a shot but the team doesn't get credit for a shot?
I don't think anybody gets credit for a shot.
I don't know.
I was waiting to see if they would change the goal to Thompson because Thompson.
They did.
Do that?
And then they changed it back. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they actually they called and they woke Gene Steratore in the middle of the night to decide who the goal was for. Yeah, but they did change it back and forth a couple times.
Okay. Should they not have? It's cool that McLeod got it because. It's his first career hat trick, and he would have scored. But shouldn't the rule be whoever touched the puck last?
Well,
unless they're saying it does. Are they saying that it did touch him, and that's why they credited it back to him?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
A penalty on an empty net. I think nearest player. Sure, why not? Well, hey, the Sabres won, and what a strange record they got there, huh?
It's the weirdest record.
First team in recorded history to get a goal in a period with no shots.
Yes. I don't know if it's a good record. I guess it's kind of pot. Like, you scored and they won, but I don't think that's a record you necessarily want, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it highlights that you had zero shots on goal for an entire period.
Yeah. Trying to park the bus, which they did. They parked the bus.
Well, barely.
I know.
I mean, very barely. I mean, Carolina had the puck the whole period, basically, and like that allowed them to get back into the game. But yeah, it worked. It worked. If you had a 2-goal lead instead of a 3-goal lead with that strategy, I'm not sure what it will. It definitely would have, probably not. But all right, they got the win though. Take them however you get them, I guess.
I guess, sure. Pittsburgh on Friday, so there you go. No shots in a period.
And Pittsburgh's bad.
Pittsburgh is bad.
Pittsburgh's
That's bad.
Right. Pittsburgh waived Tristan Jarry, their 5-year starting goaltender, yesterday, who's got like 3 years left at $5 million. Like that's how their season's going.
I don't know if anybody out there would have expected us here to be talking Tristan Jarry in the first segment, but I got a stat for you on him.
Okay.
We'll make it the stat of the day. You decided this is more impressive.
Over the third period, no shots on goal?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. This must be a good one then.
It might be. It might be.
Okay.
So this is about Tristan Jarry, Penguins goalkeeper, who you said, like you said, just they waived him.
He was the favorite to be Team Canada's starting goalie for the tournament coming up at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, hockey analytics writer Jay Fresh of EP Ringside had this one. Tristan Jarry played 22 games this year, Joe. He made it to the 6th shot on goal without giving up a goal 6 of those 22 times. He gave up a goal. He gave up a goal on the first shot 6 times, on the second shot 4 times, and then third, fourth, and fifth, 2, 4, and 3. So playing 22 games and 16 times, the team has a goal on you within their first 5 shots.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's bad.
So it's probably not as crazy as Ryan McLeod getting a goal last night without shooting, which is pretty good. So, hey, the Sabres won their home against Pittsburgh on Friday. There we go.
What is their next trick going to be? To win a game without ever touching the puck.
Which is better, that goal or the butt goal? We do have the butt goal where you shot it into a goalie's pads and he skated backwards into the net. The butt goal was really good.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know when the time is right to talk Sabres. I had a little thing to ask about it. We'll talk with Paul at 7:30. Maybe I'll pose the question to him that I'm not...
Is it about their quarter-century team? Because that's what I can't wait to get into that with Paul.
There's a little bit about the quarter-century team. I was going through the quarter-century team and counting how many of the 12 players they traded away.
I
Were you doing that also?
I was trying not to get sucked into how it's almost sad that the whole team is made up of guys that... either just would never want anything to do with the team again, like maybe Eichel or Drury kind of seems that way.
Briere.
Or, right, like guys that wouldn't identify as Sabres, like Briere, who would probably think Flyers first. Campbell would think Blackhawks first.
Yeah.
Hasek maybe now would, but maybe there was a time where he would have said Red Wings. He won the cup there.
Hasek makes the team despite playing basically what, like 1 year?
It was a season and a half, yeah.
Yeah, a season and a half, a disgruntled season and a half where he wants out too.
Yeah, so that was the you know, it's a team filled with guys like Briere, the most beloved one and like absolutely deserving of being on the first team. Like the Ducks had a team where like, you know, Corey Perry and Getzlaf are on it and Solani, like guys that have played for the team for like 15 seasons.
Yeah.
And the Sabres, like top forward, like was here for what, 5 years? Four years, even? One was a lockout.
The thing I noticed about the all-century team for the Sabres was the only player that left in a hockey trade is Myers, Tyler Myers. Yeah. Everybody else was, we're not going to pay that guy or we can't let him walk for free or we're tearing it down.
Right, Pominville and Vanacker contracts are coming up.
And it's part of a teardown, and Miller is also that.
Yep.
And then Campbell is, well, we can't let him go for free. We're not going to pay him. Yeah. And Briere and Drury was, we're not going to pay him.
Right.
Right? So I think it's only Myers that – McKee was a free agent. They didn't think he was worth what St. Louis paid him. He made that team. Paul Hamilton, again, who we'll talk to at 7:30, he is a Henrik Talinder truther, Joe, just like I tried to tell you.
Yes.
Paul said his vote was for Talinder on the team over Myers, and I appreciate that.
I would agree with him, too. I would have put him on. Myers has the hardware, though, so I guess that's right. Got him on the call.
So anyway, no, the question I was going to ask, and you know, we don't have to dip too far into it, it was just going to be they won last night, so you know, you don't want to have the wrong vibe, but do people think hiring Lindy was a mistake? Or just not focusing on the right thing? Like, 5 minutes on the Sabres here. When I work on Thursdays, I work from home and I walk through the basement. Mm-hmm. And the basement is kid central and it's a mess. And every couple days I'll come down and I'll clean it up. And sometimes it's such a mess I don't know where to begin. And that's, you know, that can take some time. And sometimes I feel like when we talk about the Sabres, we think of them in that way. Like, wow, what a mess here. Where would you even begin? Mm-hmm. But when Lindy got the job, the whole idea was, we know what's wrong. Accountability. Mm-hmm. We know what's wrong. So you come down and okay, boom, I'm going to attack this. This has been the problem. And we'll be fine. And, of course, they are not fine. Has he tackled that problem? Maybe, arguably, whatever. Whatever you want to say about in the room. But people love Lindy, and his legacy is not tarnished, I don't think. But the move to make the change and to hire him, I mean, they are still in last place in the East, and that is not where they're supposed to be. So as much as, you know, Kevin Adams will catch a lot of heat for this, and, yeah, I mean, ultimately they come down to his decisions. Like, I don't hear a ton of Lindy was a mistake.
Yeah. I guess because for me, like, what else were they supposed to bring in? Unless the idea was just keep rolling with Granato.
Right.
Like, if you wanted a proven veteran coach, I don't know who you were getting other than Lindy. Like, there were reports that they wanted Berube, but you're not competing with Toronto to get Craig Berube as your head coach. Like, I don't think you're really in that ball game. So, you know, you can. It might have been. It always, to me, might have been that Lindy was not. The motivation wasn't necessarily about nostalgia. It was, this is the type of coach we want, and this is the guy we know will take it. Will take the job. And, you know, like, again, like, I don't know what your alternative was supposed to be other than. You could just go back to a first-time head coach, and I guess that'll be the next thing, right? Like, eventually.
Well, is this the comparison of the New England Patriots where they brought back Vrabel because they thought, like, we need something here, and first-time head coach won't feel right? I mean, is Vrabel Lindy? Is he much different? Pretty universally respected. Hasn't won a championship, but, hey, he had some winning seasons, and we think this guy's pretty good. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Like, because no matter who you were going to bring in of that ilk as a coach, it was going to be about, hey, more accountability, more of a balanced type of system, and these players have to react well to that. And I'm not even sure they haven't reacted well to it, although it's hard to say they have. I think it's more about that this team, the whole blueprint of the last two seasons, and especially this year, getting Lindy in, is... We got to be more buttoned up. We need to be, they've talked like this, they need more buttoned up. We need to be more defensively responsible. We need to be a more mature hockey team. And the talent we have offensively will keep the goals coming on its own naturally. And that, to me, is the misstep, is that a belief that their best players are good enough to score without playing Granato's wide open style. Because 2 years have proven they're not good enough to score without Granato's style.
Yeah, that's probably right. That boils it down.
Yeah, like I it's hard for me to get off. Like, I don't know where else you're supposed to. Like you said, I don't know where else you're supposed to start. Like that's it. That's the whole thing for me.
Well, 803-0550. If you want to chime in on that, you can. We won't spend too much time there. It's a Bills Ravens game week, and it's, you know, we're getting to it. We heard from the two teams yesterday. Got plenty to get to, and a Twitter poll I just posted about the offense. Heard from a number of players yesterday, Josh, Lamar. I saw attempts, and I mean attempts, at bulletin board material. People are going to work pretty hard for it. Lamar was asked about his last game here.
Okay.
You know, if he remembers it, the pick six. And he said, yeah, of course, I saw it just the other day. Like, maybe he was on Twitter or something, but he saw a clip of it. And he's like, that's all, you know. Yeah, he said something about, you know, hopefully, you know, have a much better performance, or who even knows? It was forgettable enough for me to not remember the words that he said, and the account attempting to make it into bulletin board material said, Lamar has heard all of the Buffalo hate and is out for revenge. It's like, you mean he saw a highlight of a play from 5 years ago involving him? Okay, you know, like, heard all the Buffalo hate? What? I've also decided, this is not a rant, but in the last 4 days, Bill, I've heard a lot of people say, Bill, well, it turns out Ravens fans are the worst on this app. You know, talking Twitter or whatever. Ravens fans are the most obnoxious. Aren't we all just obnoxious? All of us?
Yeah, I think
we are all obnoxious in a room online arguing with each other about whose team is cooler. And I don't buy that any fan base is any worse than the rest. The Jets, the Dolphins, the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Bengals. You know, we've had our spats and our feuds, but I'm sure we're not a cup of tea to them either.
Okay, get ready, though. The reason, of course, for this is that Kansas City's been hogging all the championships and appearances that the argument commences because nobody has hardware to show off and end the argument.
No, that's right.
Right,
that's
like
definitely the truth.
The argument rages on between the Bills and Ravens fans because neither of their guys have won anything. And had they had, like, it might be easier, right? Like, if Allen had a Super Bowl and Lamar didn't, or the vice versa, because there was one year where one of them beat the Chiefs, then, like, there would be less of this, I think.
Yeah.
It's the Chiefs' fault. It's just when in doubt, blame the Chiefs.
But
you're right. Like, it's every time Miami gets close, right?
Yeah.
Or when it was the Jets for a minute, it was them, it was the Bengals. Like, the Bengals are the proof that it's going to happen no matter what. There was a bromance between the Bills fans and Bengals fans like no other in history, right? Like Andy Dalton throwing the touchdown to Tyler Boyd and the Hamlin game and everybody kind of coming together for that. And within a month after the Hamlin game, it was like trading blows, right? Like nothing had happened between the Bills and the Ravens, or Bills and the Bengals.
Yep.
So, yeah, but it is. Maybe it is amped up for Bills Ravens because I am like wanting to avoid it. Like those other teams and social media beefs, whatever, like I can watch it and laugh at it. There's something about this one that just comes off, Del Reed put it this way, just comes off as super toxic to me. I think it's because maybe with those other teams like Tua or Rodgers at 40, like I can get to, okay, yeah, like you guys are absurd for thinking you're on the exact same level. But like maybe it feels toxic to me because I like have a complete healthy respect for how good Jackson is and him being exactly on Allen's plane, if not, you know, at least pretty close, if not the exact same.
Yep.
So like that might be the big difference to me. It's like they are this.
Well, when we talked yesterday with Luke Jones of Ravens reporter for BaltimorePositive.com and WNST, like I asked him a question about Lamar and about Lamar's legacy there in Baltimore, because this might be a little loose of a comparison, but isn't Lamar their McDermott?
More than
he's their Allen.
Yes.
I know he's won the MVP, but the MVP is not postseason. And I don't think you'd have many fans too ready to say McDermott's regular season coaching is bad. I mean, they win all the time.
Right.
They win 13 games regularly. But when you get to the playoffs, the defense kind of goes away and doesn't put in those performances. And that's Lamar. Lamar, maybe he's about to win his third MVP. If he goes out to the Bills, then, finger quotes, playoff Lamar, or if the Bills give up a million points to the Ravens, isn't that playoff McDermott? Like, it feels to me like McDermott and Lamar Jackson, mm-hmm. are a closer postseason comparison than Allen and Jackson. I know that, you know, Allen and McDermott have been exactly the same distance in the playoffs and the exact same win-loss record because they're paired. But people don't doubt Allen at all. You talk to a Bills fan, they are very confident in the quarterback's ability to perform in 8 degrees at home against anybody. It doesn't matter. You bring him in, my guy in the playoffs is a freak show, and he's going to show you that on Sunday. Oh, how about your head coach? Well, yeah. We'll see how that goes. We know that there's ability in there for sure, but, you know, we've talked about this a lot, Joe. It's time for a McDermott defensive virtuoso. And that's kind of exactly the phrasing that Luke Jones used yesterday. When I asked him this Lamar question, he said, the feeling is it's time for results mm-hmm. in the postseason.
Yeah. The difference between, I mean, passer rating is only one and not the most complete number for this, but Jackson's passer rating regular season versus playoffs goes down 20 points.
Yeah.
Allen's goes up 11 from the regular season to the postseason. So there is a clear difference there. Like, Allen's numbers actually almost look the same. The big difference, I think, is that he doesn't turn the ball over
in the playoffs. If there was such a thing as, like, a coach's defensive rankings, wouldn't the Bills defensive rankings or defensive rating go down 15 points in the playoffs?
I think almost
at least.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you have the gaffe of the Kansas City 13-second game, which is going to play into that too, versus
but
Baltimore.
Even 13 seconds, even if Allen gets stopped with 13 seconds remaining, he played an amazing game and didn't finish that drive. The Bills gave up, what, 36?
Yeah.
That's a part of that. I mean, we're, if he throws four and take one touchdown away and he falls short, the conversation about that game is about how he didn't get to the end zone, but it's still about how the Bills' defense got cooked the drive before that.
Right. And Jackson, like, I guess Harbaugh's not like a he was a special teams guy, so he's just kind of the head coach, but their defense performing pretty well in a lot of these games while still losing a bunch of them is kind of the same thing, right? Like, Allen's lost playoff games where he's put up a bunch of points. Not all of them, but he has. And then Jackson has... The Ravens have lost games where they have kind of held the other team in check. Like,
right, like the Chiefs last year, what was it, 9 straight possessions without a score?
Yeah, 9 straight without a score. They didn't, I don't think, had anything in the second half. Like, their losses in the playoffs with Lamar Jackson at quarterback, they have given up 23 points, 28 points, 17 points, 24 points, and 17 points.
Yeah.
Like, that's not, they've never allowed a team to 30. They have 2 playoff losses where their opponent didn't get to 20. Like, That then goes to the quarterback. And Allen, I don't know, like there's the Cincinnati game, which they get to what? Do they get to
27-10
in that game?
27-10.
But you don't have Allen losing a playoff game where the opponent had 16, 17 points.
Right. It feels, and I know it's not impossible to happen, but doesn't it feel impossible they would lose this game 17-10?
Oh, 100%. Totally.
Absolutely impossible.
Totally feels
which
like
means
it would
I should
never
go ahead and bet it right now, because now that I said that it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, like, I think about Lamar's legacy in Baltimore and Allen's, or McDermott's here. It's, of course, Allen v. Jackson, both of them yesterday kind of pointing out, like, I don't play directly against him. I play against these defenses. And, you know, Harbaugh's got the shield of having won a Super Bowl for Baltimore, so that helps. I mean, can he get you the whole way there? Of course, he's done it before. Lamar versus McDermott, that is almost the bigger... Who will shed their playoff reputation?
Yeah.
Because they really are going head-to-head, Bobby Babich and McDermott, against Lamar, more than Allen and Jackson are going head-to-head. 803-0550. If you have a thought on this, give us a call. And Lou in Niagara Falls is going to lead us off on the phones. Hey, Lou, good morning.
Good morning, guys. I don't know what you guys think, but I'm just worried about our safety corps. I mean, Henry's going to get touches, but I don't know, Baltimore, you know, they might just change it up. I know last game, I noticed the first half, our safety corps looked lost at times. Now, is that our weak spot, you guys think? I just want to know your opinion on our safety corps.
You mean last game against Baltimore?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Rapp...
I'm just worried about them. Sorry.
No,
yeah, Rapp left that game early with a concussion.
Yep.
Which, you know, that's not great. I mean, Derrick Henry ran him over.
Yep, Hamlin did play, and I'm looking in that game, he had his second highest missed tackle rate of the season. He had, I mean, only two out of six. You know, they are, I don't know what to think about them. They actually grade well run defense-wise, like missed tackle rate. Rapp, I think, is the second best safety in the league this year, and Hamlin's maybe like 12th or 13th. Like, they both... don't do that very often, but like Henry's another animal, obviously, and yep. They are not very big. Like you do not have Kyle Hamilton on your side of the field. Maybe Bishop, had he had a great rookie season and been the starter, would make that feel a little different. But I get it. I get the concern is that they have two of the best athletes in the league, and you're going to have to tackle them with. You know, Hamlin at least is a subpar athlete for league standards, and Rapp is just maybe small for league standards.
803-0550. Thanks, Lou, for the phone call. You can give us a ring if you want. I've got some instant trivia on Derrick Henry and postseason success. And we'll hear from Lamar, we'll hear from Allen, we'll hear from McDermott today as we play back some of the highlights. Both teams had media day yesterday. It is Thursday. We are inching closer and closer. The Sabres come in off a win over Carolina. They will next play the Pittsburgh Penguins on Friday, so tomorrow. Real feel right now is 4 degrees.
For the game or for right
no,
now?
For right now.
It feels like negative 14. Like, yeah. It is so cold outside,
and it's going to be cold for this game, and that's a factor here. Lamar already talking about the weather and whether or not he's going to wear gloves. He said no, because when he tries to wear gloves, it's a disaster. So, you know, just file it away. it's kind of funny. This is the kind of thing that will live on in lore if the Bills win. Oh, the Ravens practiced inside because their field was frozen?
Ooh.
Oh. Like, yeah. That's potentially good for post game narratives.
If the Bills win and like there's some viral clip of the Ravens looking cold, is that going to end the dome crowds argument forever?
Maybe. It might. I don't want to hear that the weather is going to hamper the Bills, which I don't think it will. The perfect game stands there beautifully on top of a mountain. It was really cold and they scored 47 points. 803-0550. And a lot of people would say this version of the Bills is more equipped to do it. Ravens offensive coordinator Todd Monken interviewing with the Jaguars today. I still have not seen any Joe Brady schedule stuff, right? Have you?
I haven't. I don't think he can interview. I guess maybe he can't interview right now with other teams.
Why?
Baltimore's
offensive coordinator has.
But like in person. Is he doing in person, Monken?
Monken's interviewing with the Jaguars. I can't imagine he's flying down to Jacksonville for an interview.
Right. Okay. I guess all these
assistants, the guys on the bye, Ben Johnson, Aaron Glenn. I mean, they're now into this game week. I'm interested. Like Joe Brady, I'm sure he's going to get some of these interviews. I just wonder where the news is on these teams confirming they've completed an interview with Joe Brady.
Unless he hates all the jobs and he doesn't want to interview.
Which we got to get to that as well.
Aaron Glenn turned down interviews.
Ben Johnson is going to take the Raiders' job, seems to be the idea.
Yeah.
I did see one galaxy brain, if I may use the term, take on why that would be a good idea for Ben Johnson. So we can get to that. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. How you feeling about the offense? The Ravens are getting all of the headlines on their offense. Get you some numbers to compare these two offenses and ask if there's any hang-up you have about this Bills group in this upcoming game. Jeremy White, Sneaky Joe, it is WGR.
Here's a chance up the middle, and that shot scores! McLeod on the first shot of the game beats Dustin Tokarski, and it's 1-0, 43 seconds into this one.
One of the first moments of the game brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For the moments in life, go forth to Firth. Ryan McLeod, the first and last goal on the way to a hat trick in a 4-2 Sabres win.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hopefully we have some heaters on the sideline. Bigger jacket, probably. I got to talk to Kaneko to see what he got going on. Equipment guys, they pretty much do a great job, though, so we should be good.
You don't do gloves under any circumstances?
Nah. I tried it in practice. I was horrible. Leave that up to Teddy, two gloves, Teddy Bridgewater.
Lamar Jackson talking temperature. Will not be wearing gloves. Presumably will, you know, try to keep his hands warm between offensive series. Patrick Hammer just tweeting moments ago from Channel 2, WGRZ. The game Sunday, reading directly from the tweet, will feel exactly like the playoff game against New England 3 years ago.
Okay.
Wind chills of -3 to 8 degrees, maybe some light snow late, but winds 5 to 15. So exactly like the playoff game against New England 3 years ago, which got into negative numbers in terms of real feel. So,
yeah.
Okay. Hey, we made it through that one. I've got my gear. I'm ready.
Allen, in that game, Jackson talking about what he's going to wear there. Allen did not wear gloves, but I remember he wore like a thermal long sleeve shirt under his jersey, which I remember him saying he did not want to wear because he hates wearing sleeves, but he got talked into it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it did not affect him from having the like the best playoff game of all time.
We'll see. We will see. 803-0550 is our phone number, 1-888-550-2550. So just two stats, and you want to say these are cherry-picked, Joe, you can. I kind of did cherry-pick them because I was looking for, well, I'll be honest, I was looking for one that I had trouble finding. Yards per drive, but I did get that, or points per drive. Yards per drive, points per drive. One of the offensive rankings because the Ravens' offense is, I think, indisputably great. It's a great offense. Their yards per play is historic. I mean, they're amazing. But points per drive, the Bills are better than them, and there are four teams in the NFL better than them this year. So the Ravens get a lot of chunk plays and big plays, and their offense is diverse, but they're not even the best scoring offense in points per drive or points per play.
On the season?
Because
I saw this is only a five-game sample size. I think it's the last, the last five games, the Ravens have scored a touchdown on 40.8% of their drives, which is a crazy rate. But if there's no field goals mixed in, and then the season as a whole would count, because they played some weak defenses, I think, in the last few weeks, too.
Yes, they have. They played the Bengals along the way. I think they played the Giants late in the season.
Steelers defense.
The Steelers defense is exactly.
Yeah.
Their last few games, 35-34, 31-35, 28.
Yeah.
I mean, the Ravens are getting all of the attention about having a great offense. And I'm one to almost to a fault not try to fall into how come they're only talking about one team here? Because I think most of that is, you know, kind of whatever, imagined. I don't really buy into they're only talking about one team, but this time I think they are. I think the national conversation and the conversation around this game is how one team has an unstoppable offense, and in many ways it ranks behind the Bills' offense. There are plenty of ways the Bills' offense looks elite. At one point, before like the last two, three games of the season when the Bills are playing out the string, the Bills had averaged more than 3 points per drive, which is 2007 New England Patriots level. Not many teams get to 3 points per drive. And the Bills were up in that way high rarefied air of how good their offense is. The streak of games with 30-plus points that ends in New England, why? Because they don't play their starters, right? Like, I'm thinking about this game, or maybe they didn't score 30 against New England the second time. Maybe what did they do the first time? Anyway,
the game here,
did they get to 30?
No, they got to 24. I think it was the only game they didn't actually.
Okay, I want to make sure I get that right. That's the game that broke the streak. So
yeah,
Other than that, this offense has scored at will. It's been a great offense, occasionally a slow start, but a great offense that also runs away from teams the same way the Baltimore's has. Anyway, so here it is. Points per play, the Bills are number one, Baltimore's number three. Points per drive, the Bills are number three, Baltimore's number five. Percentage of drives ending in points. How about rushing touchdowns? The Bills have more than the Ravens.
More, well, yeah, they got the 30, didn't they?
Right.
Yeah.
The Ravens are at 21. So the Bills' offense is absolutely on the level with Baltimore here. And yet it feels like so much of the conversation is, well, what are they going to do about this Baltimore offense?
Yeah.
And the obvious follow-up to that is, what's Baltimore going to do about the Bills' offense? You know, they have answers. They did the first time. But the first time the Bills punted three times on fourth downs, you think they might have gone for. They had a fumble from their quarterback, which did not happen a lot this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the whole thing has me feeling like the Bills' offense is getting overlooked.
Yeah. That they are. Well, that's. Yeah, I guess, like, that's not having a lot of star power around Allen, but they. Like, where would you want to point to? Because, like, for the Ravens, it's easy. Like, how do you stop Lamar and Henry? Like, how do you stop Henry running the ball through your secondary, and how do you stop Lamar from scrambling out of the pocket? And beyond Allen, like, what's the question with the Bills? Like, it might not be sexy, but, like, really the answer might be how do you get through that offensive line? How do you not get bullied by that offensive line? Like, that's maybe where I'd want to point my attention is they are just going to create holes, and James Cook is going to read them, and they're going to allow Allen to stand back there in the pocket. Like, maybe that's the answer, because I guess, like, it's tough to think about them as an unstoppable force, even though they are, when, like, you don't really know which name to focus on. But that's their mantra, right? Like, it's you don't know which one of our guys is going to go off against you this week, and with Baltimore, like, you know exactly who it's going to be.
Yeah. And one of the guys that it might be is hurt. I mean, it's probably going to be Henry or Lamar, but if it's your number one receiver, Pro Bowl receiver, he's hurt, and I don't think he's going to play. The fact that he missed practice yesterday is a huge sign.
Right. Versus the Bills, like, okay, like, I probably put my chips on Shakir being a good part of the game plan, but, like, that doesn't have to happen.
Right.
And Kincaid hasn't really gotten going this year, but maybe he'd be the one that would be surprising if, like, it was just a huge Kincaid game. But, like, everybody else has kind of taken their turn.
Any game where Kincaid has a huge game is going to be a big surprise to me. I'm just, you know, he's a piece of this offense. I've kind of stopped expecting that he's going to be the thing that exploits it, but, you know, we'll see. 803-0550 is our phone number. I have a Twitter poll about this. Is there anything, any hang-up at all you have on this Bills offense? Any concern? Because as I put those numbers, you know, number one in points per play, number three in points per drive, any concerns or hang-ups about the Bills offense going into this game? 80% of this Twitter poll so far is a no. No vote. I don't have any. People have no concerns, no hang-ups.
Mm-hmm.
And 20% say yes with people commenting underneath. Like, good comment here. If the Ravens fully commit to stopping the run, have success in making the Bills one-dimensional, you need guys to get open, and getting separation one-on-one, not exactly a forte of this offense.
Not a forte, but they're better at it than they were the first time they played Baltimore.
That's right. It's still not a forte. I mean,
yeah,
right. They're not separators, but, you know, they have an offensive coordinator that is doing a good job scheming them, and the quarterback generally makes the right calls on a lot of stuff. So it's definitely something that they, whatever, if you want to say they have to overcome or work through, they've kind of done that to a point to their identity the entire year. Maddie writes in, I think Cooper is the biggest difference on offense. His presence opened things up more than game one. Josh had to hold the ball so long in that game because no one's getting open. He got hit a lot, and Kyle Van Noy had a great game. He did get hit a lot, and he got pressured a lot in that game. He got sacked, which
he got
sacked 14 times on the year, and Baltimore got to him, I think it was twice in that game.
Yeah, and
not including the hit where he got blasted and fumbled.
I was just going to say that. I think the trick play is the hardest he's been hit in his career, maybe.
Yeah. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. On the offense and your level of confidence heading into this game against Baltimore.
Cooper, by the way, I don't know if this came up when he got traded for. I saw a couple articles from the past that he hates playing in the cold. Like,
oh boy.
Does not like it. There's a video from him in Dallas where he was playing in the cold where he looks freezing, like he just didn't want to be there. But he did play in Cleveland for a couple years, so maybe he shook that. I don't know.
Maybe. Maybe, you know, he can shake it because the stakes. I mean, yeah, I might play.
I mean, for him, it's probably the biggest game of his NFL career. College, did he play in like a national championship? But like NFL, I think. I mean, he's been in the playoffs multiple times, but I don't know that he's even made it to the divisional round in his career.
Who loves playing in the cold? Does anybody truly love it? I mean, didn't Josh pretty much say he'd prefer to play indoors?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like everybody would prefer to play inside.
That's probably right. There's probably some sicko on the team that probably loves it, right? Who is it? Dawkins, I feel like, has to say he loves it.
Oh, the snowman?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's going to thrive out there. 803-0550, we'll get a break. And I got instant trivia, Derrick Henry-based instant trivia when we return. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. We'll do some instant trivia quickly here.
Okay.
This is Derrick Henry. At ProFootballTalk.com, Mike Florio, Michael David Smith pointing out. It's Michael David Smith actually pointed this out. With 82 yards on Sunday, Derrick Henry would hit 1,000 rushing yards in the playoffs in his career. He'd move into seventh all-time. And I have the six players ahead of Derrick Henry in all-time postseason rushing yards.
Okay.
Who are the six players in front of Derrick Henry? Now, I want you to, when you're thinking cap on here, who was an amazing running back and played a ton of playoff games?
Yeah. Emmitt Smith.
Number one, 1,586 yards.
How about Thurman?
Number three.
Nice.
1,442 yards.
Okay. Walter Payton.
No.
No. How many runs did those Bears teams go on? Okay, how about...
Number two, number four, number five, number six.
New England was always rotating, so there's not going to be like a Lawrence Maroney in here. Okay, how about Jerome? No. No, not. A lot of playoff games and also was like one of the league's.
These are all household names of different eras at running back.
I mean, did Jim Brown play in playoff games?
Enough to get 1,000 yards in the postseason.
I don't even know if they had playoff games back then. What about Marshawn Lynch?
No.
Okay. Frank Gore?
No.
Come on, the guy played for 50 years. He didn't get there? Okay. Hold on. Let me go through some, like, teams that would have played in multiple deep playoff runs. What about like a Marshall Faulk?
No.
Man, is this tough? Franco Harris?
Number two, 1,556 yards. You got one, two, and three. Yes.
Okay.
The other three, I felt like Franco Harris was the easiest of the remaining ones to get, but people will shout out these. You got to think of all-time franchises that played a million playoff games.
Okay. Well, that was the Steelers. What about the Niners? Yep. Who's the Niners?
There's
back?
No 49ers player.
Okay, I don't even know who that would be.
Cowboys.
Cowboys.
It's an old trivia.
The name. Tony Dorsett?
Yes, that's number. Yes.
Okay.
Number four. Raiders and Chiefs.
What was that team?
Raiders and Chiefs.
Marcus Allen?
And Broncos.
Terrell Davis.
That's the six.
Okay. All right. Good list.
Derrick Henry has a chance to pass all those guys this postseason. He gets 82 yards. He gets to 1,000 for his postseason career. All right. That's instant trivia. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Do you have any concern about the offense? We'll get some of the answers we've got at our Twitter poll and chat about it with you, Paul Hamilton, 7:30 here on WGR.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs, or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.